Hello.
And welcome.
It's the Graveyard Girls, a true crime and mysteries podcast. So I have something to tell you.
Okay.
I know you've not long finished watching Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I have a little crush on Eddie Munson.
Oh, for God's sake. I can't see past it. Have you seen the meme with the portrait?
Yeah, because he looks exactly like him. I'm going to have a picture of that up in here because...
I can't see past it.
But Joseph Quinn has these like really adorable doe eyes, and he's adorable.
It's not, I just see that painting.
That painting is not very flattering at all. I think it's you know, like the Keanu Reeves meme where he's a vampire and he's not aging.
Yeah.
I think he is as well now. It's not very flattering.
No, it's not. I'll be honest.
So you're not in with the Eddie?
No, I'm not in with the Eddie crowd.
Okay. Sorry. I don't like the wig. It could grow on me, but I think he's adorable.
All right, okay. So you want him out of the Stranger Things character. You like the character, but without the appearance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the hair.
I just can't see past the painting.
I'm going to have that painting up in here.
You're not.
I am.
I'm going to have it just behind
my head. Every time you look at me, you're going to see it.
No, his hair, because you know how me with the mic...
Yeah.
You could just see that it was like the apple thing. Yeah. I'm going to have that now with you, but you're just going to have extra big bushy hair.
Oh yeah, I will get that mullet. I'll get that mullet. It's my honour to Eddie.
You'll have to do it, and then I'll take a photo of it and add it to our Instagram page.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Patreon. We could do it on Patreon.
Could do.
So it's exclusive.
I'll post it everywhere. I'll be like, Natasha got a new haircut.
Oh god, no. That'd be embarrassing.
Anyway, on your note of Eddie... This might impress you. I have a case today that is a murder mystery of Sir Edmund Berry Godfrey.
Oh, Berry.
Berry.
Oh, that's very interesting. I like his middle name Berry.
Yeah, his middle name is Berry.
Spelled as in berry?
Yes, like the...
Berry fruit.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So...
We could call him Eddie Berry. Eddie Berry.
That makes me sound like he's edible.
Some might think he is.
Certain parts. Right. Okay. So, Sir Edmund Berry Godfrey was born on the 23rd of December in 1621 in Kent. So he's going to be a little bit old. But, modern Eddie, that could be a painting of Sir Edmund.
Oh, don't bring up that. I got that out of my head. That's fine. Can we have a... We're going to decorate the studio and we're going to have that painting in here.
Oh, okay, are you? Yes. What, with I Heart Eddie in the corner?
Yeah. It was a little Hellfire Club t-shirt. Yes.
Okay.
No, I hate that painting.
I just can't see past it. I'm sorry.
I'm going to put it like right here so you can see it.
Oh, so I've got to stare at it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, well... Sir Edmund Berry Godfrey, he was the 11th son of 18 born to Thomas Godfrey, a member of an old Kentish family, and his second wife, Sarah. Now,
18.
Yeah, I don't know if Sarah actually had 18 children, or because she was his second wife, if the first wife had a few, then she's possibly died, he's remarried, and by the time she's finished popping them out, she's got a total of 18.
Can you imagine having 18 children?
No, I don't want one.
You'd run out of names.
Mary. Mary, Larry, Dairy.
But then, like, imagine, like, my mum has two and she, like...
Gets the names muddled up.
And then also, like, throws the dog's name in as well.
Oh, so the dog gets like, mentioned before you.
Yeah. Or she combines mine and my sister's name and it's like...
Oh.
There's...
Yeah, 18's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, imagine how wrecked your vagina would be at that. They'd literally be falling out, Natasha. You wouldn't even have to push.
At that point, you just sneeze and then you're like, oh, baby. Oh.
No, I'm not willing to wreck my vagina for one, let alone. 18.
This is why men need birth control, because they're the ones who can have multiple, lots. I mean, clearly... clearly one or two, but then like that's over a period.
Can you imagine 18 between the two of us? It also means we'd have to share a husband. Can you have 17 and I'll have one?
I, I don't know if I could.
Can you imagine? It wouldn't be as bad, I don't think, if some of them were like sets of twins and triplets, because it's a few less births.
Yeah.
You get them over and done with.
But you'd need a massive house.
Oh, because it's something else.
You'd need a massive something else as well. But like, the house, because imagine like 18 people.
I think they're just sleeping
children
on top of each other. That's what kept them warm.
Oh my God, I can't imagine that.
No, I wouldn't like it either.
Well, it's God's will for you to have that many children.
You can't have contraception in this time. So, he was named after his godfathers, Edmund Harrison and Captain John Berry, which often leads to the misconception that his first name was Edmund Berry. Now, John Berry was spelt with an I-E.
Okay.
Whereas Edmund, he's with a Y.
It's Berry.
So, I couldn't understand why there was a bit of a confusion, but Berry is actually his middle name.
Oh, because it's not hyphenated. No. Also, like, spellings of names as well.
Yeah, they're weird.
Like, Matthew with one T.
Yeah. Or, like, my sister's middle name is May, but when they spell it either M-A-I or M-A-E, like, why?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Or, like, Rebecca with a K.
Yeah, silly. See, my sister's name is quite often spelt with a K. Like, Clara.
Because it's, like, European.
See, which kind of does make sense, because Clara, the K K-K still works. Yeah.
Because I knew a Natasha who was spelt with a, like the S was a C instead.
What?
So I don't know if it was pronounced.
Natasha?
Like, or Natacha? Natacha? I think it was pronounced the same way.
Oh, but why the C? I don't get it. Natacha.
Cha-cha-cha. Yes, she's cha-cha's. I think she pronounced it the same way. I think her family was from a Eastern European country. I think it is. I've only seen it like that a few times. It's not common.
Oh.
So, because like my name's Russian, so I can't think like, would it be like Polish? It would be like a Slavic country, wouldn't it? But I can't think what. But yeah, I've seen it with a C.
Oh. Very strange, that one. But yes, anyway, back to the case.
This chair is very noisy. I need some, like, WD-40 on it.
Got some behind you.
I know.
Right. So.
That's where I'm going to put that ugly, that painting. There, so you can see it. You just see my head.
And they're the noises you're making when you were there, Eddie.
This chair's going to fall apart on me one day.
Right. I'm very distracted now. So, Edmund's father had been an MP and owned Hoddyford Farm. So, they're not short of cash. Which is probably just as well. I mean, they probably need a fucking farm to keep 18 children on.
I know. Most of them are in the barn.
Yeah. So, Edmund became Justice of the Peace for Westminster and received a knighthood in September 1666.
Oh, 1666. When is the Battle of Hastings?
1066.
Oh, 1066. Yeah. Okay, never mind. That's just like, I knew a fact. Oh, no, that's wrong.
It's close.
600 years later. Out.
No, I'm thinking 666.
Yes, 666, yes.
So, and he received this knighthood for his services in the Great Plague of 1665, which is the bubonic plague, which wiped out a quarter of London's population, not the Black Death. They're two separate things.
Okay.
Because I'll be honest, at one point, I didn't realise there was two separate things. I presumed it was all the same.
Well, a plague's a plague, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's it for anyone who was a little bit confused like me, it's not the two. They were two separate events.
Technically, we are in a plague.
Yes. They're still around and they've not gone. It's back. No. Yeah, because really piss off.
Because you and I got it when,
after everyone else.
I know. We're like, oh, we don't get paid for not coming. Okay.
Yeah, literally, we got it after they stopped paying people. I was like, really? Oh, but we joked about it before that would be just our luck, and then that's literally what happened. And I thought,
that's what happened. We foresaw it, and then that's what happened. So,
podcast. We could have been worse. We could have been burnt at the stake for foreseeing it. So you know, still alive. We survived.
I mean, like, I had some pretty bad headaches every time I coughed.
I had a headache for weeks. I don't know, just felt a bit shit.
I mean, still do.
Yeah, haven't recovered. We must have had that long COVID thing.
So we had it before we had COVID.
Yeah, I think that's exhaustion. That's
we're burnt out, yes.
I think that was just work. Right. Right. In 1669, Edmund was briefly imprisoned for a few days because he'd had the king's physician, Sir Alexander Fraser, arrested for owing him money. It was said that the King Charles II overrode the judge's decision, so he only spent a couple of days in. So he's obviously pally with Charles.
Is that where we get the King Charles Spaniel from?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I assume so. Maybe it's like the queen with the corgis. She had corgis, so she's going to be...
Oh, I thought you were going to say like his hair was like Spaniel's ears.
Oh, maybe. Which kind of looks like Eddie in that painting. Yeah. It's such a...
We're linking it in so many ways.
It's magic.
We foresee things because we are witches.
And we are very tired.
Unless we start another witch trial, in which case we're not witches. Don't kill us.
Kill the bad ones.
Yes, we're good ones, I think.
Yes, we foresee everything. We see through everyone's lies.
Yeah, we did try to warn you about coronavirus and you just didn't fucking listen. So, you know, it's all on you. We tried to stop it. We could have stopped it, but you didn't let us, so.
When did we try to warn them?
We did try to warn them.
Okay.
We foresaw so many things.
Okay. I don't know what we foresaw.
We can't tell now we've been sworn to secrecy.
Okay. I'm just like, what did we do? Well, you never. My memory is very poor. So yes, we probably
your flaccid brain. That's when they try to take your witchy powers away from you at trial.
Oh, okay.
They try to torture it out of you.
Oh.
So that's why you keep getting gaps in your memory.
Oh.
That's when you got bashed on the head.
Okay, that makes sense. I do have a dent in my head, by the way.
So, I didn't do it.
Oh no, it's from I think when I was in nursery. I remember doing it.
Did you get dropped on your head?
No, I whacked it on a sink.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. So it's like all the way like down here.
Yeah, what did you do? Sever your head off?
Practically. That's probably explaining some things.
Yeah, I think it might do.
Mm.
It's not good. Anyway. We've become very distracted.
We are
today.
Very distracted. I've become very only, hot.
I'm not even a third of the way through the first page, and we've got like 4 or 5 pages to do.
That's fine. This is quality entertainment.
Right, back to the case. Edmund was also in business with his brother-in-law, James Harrison. So not only has he got a knighthood, and he's obviously doing quite well from him, he's also in business with his brother. So I don't think he's short of a few pennies.
So, which brother? Because he's got like 11 of them.
One of the 18. So, Edmund lived with his maid named Elizabeth Curtis and his secretary Henry Moore. There's a Moore. Edmund was mainly socialising with members of working class, which is obviously not what he was part of. So, I think that caused a bit of a... Not a ruckus, but... I think a few people higher up sort of frowned upon that. But despite the fact that he was socialising with working class, which is good on Edmund, to be fair, he did have a number of influential friends, including Gilbert Burnet, a philosopher, and Heneage Finch, the first Earl of Nottingham. So he's still rubbing shoulders with some pretty high up people.
It's good that he's mixing with, did you say working class?
Yeah. So I quite like that.
Yeah, because then he's like...
He's like not too up himself.
Yeah, he's like, well, he's... I'm assuming he's... Was he voted for to be justice?
Well, obviously he's got a knighthood as well. Yeah. So, and obviously he's received justice of the peace.
So he's in the community.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I quite like that. I quite like this Hand of Edmund, I'll be honest.
I like that his name is Barry because it kind of links with Honey Fabian. And
Oh yeah, from... Was it the second case that we did? Was
I think it was the second case, yes, with the Charles's. Yeah. Honey Fabian.
It's a good one.
Honey and Berry.
It makes him seem a bit softer and kinder.
Yeah, like it's a trustworthy name.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Yeah.
But yes, so Edmund is supposed to be a member of the Peyton Gang. Now, the Peyton Gang was founded by Sir Robert Peyton after he'd become aware of a secret treaty of Dover in which Charles II agreed to convert himself and England to Roman Catholicism in return for money paid by the French king, Louis XIV, also known as Louis the Great.
Okay.
So, the club, unable to confront the king directly, stirred up popular ill-feeling against the Roman Catholic Church. Peyton handpicked 12 men, including himself and Edmund, who plotted to replace the king with a republic nominally led Richard Cromwell, who I believe is the son of Oliver Cromwell. So some big names in this.
Mm.
So this is now where the mystery comes in.
Oh, the mystery.
So in 1678, Edmund became involved in schemes which involved Titus Oates, who began anti-Catholic campaigns. Titus Oates and Israel Tong, an informer, appeared before Edmund, not like in a weird ghosty way, like as in appeared in front of him as they approached him.
Okay.
They didn't go, woo, we're here. Israel. They physically appeared.
Okay. Israel and Titus are very good names as well.
Yeah, they're quite strong names, aren't they?
Good names. These are good names.
So yeah, so they appeared before Edmund and asked him to take their oath that the papers they presented him with and the evidence were based on truth. Edmund demanded to know the exact contents of the papers, which, rightly so. When he received a copy on the 28th of September, it said that he may have warned Edward Coleman, who was later killed, but was a personal friend of Edmund, so it makes me question what was in there, over the contents of the accusations. So I feel like Edmund's obviously got himself in this group, but I don't know as though he necessarily agrees with all of the things that the group are doing.
Okay.
And I wonder if that's why he maybe then spills a bit to this Edward Coleman, who happens to die later on. There's no official links with Edward Coleman and the Peyton gang, but there were some people throwing it out there that he might have died linked with what Edmund had told him. But there's no actual concrete proof of that, but I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Okay.
So when Titus Oates' accusations became known, the public became concerned. Apparently this led Edmund himself concerned, though he took no extra safety precautions, so he didn't have a bodyguard. So, though it was noted his... Despite this, it was noted that his conversations had become increasingly strange, with him frequently making comments about being knocked on the head, which was the term at the time for being assassinated.
Okay.
So even though he's not got any sort of protection, if you like, he's obviously worried still.
But it would maybe look suspicious that if he's like now like looked at these documents that all of a sudden he's getting protection.
Would it make him more of a target if he got protection? Yeah, I suppose. But I feel like maybe then you try and get protection on the sly.
Yeah.
Because you're genuinely worried. Or was it just a thing of like, oh, what will happen will happen, so...
Mm.
If someone comes to me, they come for me, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was this behaviour that would then believe his soon-to-be death was a suicide. Now, I'll touch on that later.
Okay.
So, his death. Now, on the 12th of October 1678, he left his house in the morning but did not return home. He was found dead in a ditch on Primrose Hill on October the 17th. He was laying face down and had been impaled with his own sword.
Suicide, okay.
Okay. I can explain the suicide theory later. And I kind of get where it's come from. It doesn't make much sense now, but it might do a little bit later. So...
Just fell on it.
Two committees would unsuccessfully investigate the murder. Conflicting statements about Edmund's whereabouts before the murder and no evidence of a struggle at the spot where the body was found left very little to go on. Edmund still had all of his rings and money, so they threw robbery out as a motive pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. The body was covered with bruises, and a circular mark around his neck revealed he'd been strangled, his neck broken.
That's not very suicidal.
No.
Unless he was hung himself and then somehow fell.
After being beaten up.
Mm. And then somehow fell on his own sword.
Well, this is where it gets interesting. The sword wound had not bled. This meant that he was dead when he'd been impaled, and they speculated he could have been impaled as many as 4 to 5 days later. Which does throw out the suicide, but I'll get back to that later. As how I can explain it to be a suicide still. So, but I don't want to touch on that yet, because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
So, the authorities announced a reward of £500 for information about the murder.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. But I suppose it being given a knighthood, he's obviously quite well respected, I believe.
Yeah.
So this sort of now goes on to the trial. And this brings in a man called William Bedloe. he would claim to be a reformed Catholic plotter. He said that he'd been taken to Somerset House on the night of the 14th of October to see the body of Edmund. He said he'd seen two men, including Samuel Atkins, who was a secretary to Samuel Pepys, who was a naval administrator. He was a naval administrator and MP, so quite important. Now, Atkins was arrested, but was able to prove that he'd been in Greenwich. So that completely threw out what William had said.
Okay.
So William then claimed that Edmund had been killed by Catholic plotters who intended to steal the papers about the deposition. So they were the papers that Titus and Israel had presented to him. He changes his story several times afterwards, but was still retained as a witness. Now, John Bellasyse was offered up as a mastermind behind the murder. The king, who was increasingly sceptical about the reality of the plot, burst out laughing at the notion, pointing out that John was so afflicted with gout that he could barely stand up, let alone commit a murder.
Okay.
Now, on the 21st of December, Miles Prance, a Catholic servant in ordinary to England's Catholic Queen Consort Catherine of Braganza, was arrested and taken to Newgate Prison. His lodger, John Wren, who was in debt to Miles, testified that he'd been away for four nights before Edmund's body had been found. So he's sort of saying his master had sort of conveniently disappeared time.
Yeah.
And then this is where William Bedloe comes back into it. He claimed to recognise Miles in court. So he's claiming, even though he wasn't the one that directly made the accusations against Miles, when he was brought in, I suppose it's a bit like a parade, he was like, yes, I recognise him. However, those were later thrown out and now thought to be lies. So was it a case of William had a bit of pressure put on him to say that he recognised Miles?
Yeah, okay.
So then on the 23rd to the 24th of December, Miles announced that he'd had a part in the murder, but that the main instigators were three Catholic priests.
Okay, priests, okay.
Yeah. So that would be Thomas Godden, the head of the secular English clergy, and two Irish priests who I couldn't find their first names for, so I just had Kelly and Fitzgerald. That's all that was listed.
Okay.
So these priests witnessed the murder on the courtyard of Somerset House, where Edmund had been lured, then strangled, and his body was taken to Hampstead. Miles names the actual killers as Robert Green, Henry Berry, not it's another Berry, but not related, and Lawrence Hill. They were then arrested. Thomas Godden fled the country whilst the Irish priests also vanished. The only issue would be their motive. Miles put forward that Edmund was harassing the two priests. Okay. So rather than the priests killing themselves, Miles is supposing that the priests were angry about it. Edmund had threatened them, the priests were angry. The priests and Thomas, the English clergyman, lured him over and then paid the three other men to kill him.
Okay, yeah. So you said there was a thing around his neck. Was it consistent with strangling or hanging? Yeah.
I'll sort of get on to that in a bit. So, obviously the only issue with that was the motive, but Miles put forward that obviously he was harassing him. So Miles later recanted his confession before the king and council and was thrown back in prison. He was threatened with torture and nearly froze to death. He then recanted what he'd recanted and did this multiple times until he eventually went along with his original story.
So he's being constantly tortured. He's like, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to go with?
Yeah.
I guess. He's clearly not got anything to do with it.
Yeah.
If he keeps recanting.
And this is what I say. So it's like he's always trying to please them, if you like.
It's like he killed himself. No, you don't want that. He was murdered by priests and they've disappeared. Or you don't want that either. He was aliens did it.
No, Sasha.
I don't know.
But yes. So the three men, other men who Mars is listed as the ones actually killing him, were sentenced to death on the 15th of February 1679 and hung at Primrose Hill. So for a while, that then became known as Greenberry Hill because the surnames were Green, Berry and Hill of those three men. Miles Prance's story was later discredited and he pled guilty to perjury. Then because the three men were executed on false evidence and Historians would then accept they're complete innocent in the murder for the murders, and the murder has remained officially unsolved.
Okay, yeah.
So they could no longer say that they definitely did it. One, they can't go back and interview them because they've executed them.
And this is the problem. This is the problem with execution. You have to know for a fact that you cannot prove that.
And this was it. So now I'm going to get into some theories.
Okay.
Some believe the Catholics to be responsible, which would make sense if you look at the links with the Peyton Gang, because obviously Peyton Gang was stirring up some shit against the Catholics, so it would make sense. So then Roger North, who was a lawyer and biographer, declared that he was murdered by patrons of Titus Oates, who obviously was Edmund was aware of Titus's plans and was supposed to have told his friend Edward Coleman, if you want to believe those stories.
Okay.
Others like Sir James Fitzjames Stephen, very confusing name, who was a lawyer, judge, writer and philosopher, suggested that it was Titus Oates himself that was the murderer. So rather than Titus Oates paying someone to do it, he physically did it himself. Okay. But for all the same reasons, in the sense that Edmund was kind of ruining his plans, if you like.
Okay.
And also could incriminate him.
Yeah.
Then this takes me to the next theory, which was of Mr. Lee Lestrange, who was a writer.
Lestrange.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
And he was positive that Edmund had committed suicide. Now, this is where I kind of explain this one.
But if he's strangled, the thing would be, like, the ligature mark would be lower down than if he's hung.
I'll get on to that.
It'd be, like, round there.
Yeah, I'll get on to that.
Okay.
So, it's obviously unlikely due to the fact that he was impaled, but could he have been impaled to cover up his suicide? So, basically they're saying he might have hung himself, and then obviously that was very frowned upon at the time. So, would someone else have found him, thought, oh no, we can't have this? So, they've then impaled him on his sword, which would account for the difference in days, and then dumped him somewhere to make it look like a crime.
That's a good theory.
Yeah. But this was then disproved later, and for the reason that you pointed out. A mystery writer, John Dixon Carr, wrote that suicide by hanging was impossible, as the marks on his neck showed that he'd had his neck broken with his cravat, which was too short to effectively break the neck by a drop. So he'd been strangled by it, but he couldn't have dropped from a height.
Okay, so that theory is thrown out.
Yeah.
It's a good theory otherwise.
Yeah. And I think, I suppose, for the time, because this mystery writer is obviously many years later, but at the time, I understand why it was considered a suicide by a lot of people.
Yeah.
So then Keith Simpson, who is a pathologist, agrees with John, concluding that if the body had been suspended, the marks would have been higher up on the body than they were. So that's put forward two reasons as to why it couldn't happen. But again, I suppose the science at the time, I understand why some people could have still gone with the suicide theory.
Mm.
I don't think at the time you could have completely thrown it out. It's only what we know now that we can discredit it. So then I sort of thought, could it be someone else on the outside who knew that Edmund was obviously on the brewing plots that he was involved in, kills him knowing that it would be easy to blame the Catholics?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then this brings me to theory number five. And this is one I found out a bit later, almost after I'd finished writing the thing. And it just sort of popped up. But it's very interesting. So there was also a man called Philip Herbert, who was the 7th Earl of Pembroke. So I only noticed him because I was looking into more stuff that was written by John Dixon Carr. And he also touches on this. And he offers up this man with his motive being revenge. And this was because Edmund was the one who had prosecuted him in April of that year for the murder of Nathaniel Coney. Herbert was convicted of manslaughter and exercised his privilege of peerage. Now, the privilege of peerage, it's very complicated, but in basic terms, it's a parliamentary privilege which applies only to those serving in the House of Lords or the House of Commons, and it can only be used once.
Okay, so like get out of jail free card.
Yeah, and the way I saw it, I thought, why are letting people get away with murder? But the way I understood it is actually that sometimes they see it as an honourable death. So say you had someone like Edmund, who was obviously very in favour of everyone and did a lot of good work. But let's say he was involved in some sort of accident in which someone then died. They don't want to send him to prison and risk losing him because the work that he puts in for the country on the whole far outweighs the incident that's happened and the accident that's unfortunate to have resulted in a death.
Okay, yeah.
So they allow them the privilege of peerage. Mm. But obviously, Philip has decided to use this to cover, so he doesn't have to serve time for his manslaughter. So he's still convicted, but it means he doesn't have to serve any prison time.
Okay.
So, and the privilege of peerage is still a thing today. It's still allowed today, yeah.
Okay. Is that why Boris got away with so much?
Maybe. But I think they are a little bit stricter on it now in terms of things like murder. I think there's more exemptions in it now.
Probably shouldn't.
I don't think there should be it at all. No, but no. I do understand why they made it a thing. Because like I said, in extenuating circumstances, like let's say, I don't know, there's a hunting accident. It's technically still manslaughter. If he was being something silly, like not paying attention to what he was doing, so it was seen as like negligent, and a person died as a result, but say they were like, I don't know, a code cracker, and they'd actually saved the world from imminent death.
But if that's that argument is, yeah, fine. But like, if they can get away with it, everyone needs that leniency.
Yeah, okay. I suppose we all need to get out of jail free card.
Yeah. Because like, we're all technically good until something happens. And this one thing can change your life around, and then that leads you on a path. So you shouldn't be going to jail for, like, I don't know, because you do drugs.
You should just have maybe a lesser sentence because it was seen more as an accident, maybe?
I don't know. The whole lenience thing is a bit... They should, just because they're MPs, what gives them the right to do crime?
Well, yeah, they're better than us, though, Natasha.
Oh, no, they're not.
Right. So, see, Philip would use this gas.
Well, sorry, if they are better than us, then they wouldn't be committing crimes.
Well, they're above us, Natasha, supposedly. So Philip would obviously use this get out of jail free card, but it doesn't really help himself because obviously in this case, Philip is a bad man. Philip was then involved in the near death of a peer in a dispute, which was not long after his conviction. Now this was a duel.
A duel.
In which obviously they're having a fight, he must stab him and very nearly kill him. But the man does survive. But because he's already used his get out of jail free card, he can't use it again.
Is it a duel with swords or guns?
I don't actually know. Okay. It didn't say. It just said a duel. So Philip was also known to be a drunk and suffered fits of violence and had involvement in the murder of William Smythe. And this was a drunken fight. And obviously he couldn't use his privilege of peerage as he'd already used it. So Philip fled the country until the king agreed to sign a petition started by his peers, which then was granted a royal pardon. But I feel like that was more done through pressure.
Pressure, yeah.
Because I feel like maybe Philip probably had quite a bit of shit on everyone else. So it was like, you get this petition and you give me a royal pardon, otherwise I'll be spilling the beans.
But also, you're in a different country. I don't care.
Yeah, but how long would he have been able to flee for? Do you see what I mean? Okay. So he needed something. So I think he's used it as leverage. Which, for me, then makes him quite... a strong suspect because if he had something on Edmund, or obviously he was unhappy with Edmund because Edmund was one of the people that prosecuted, if Edmund hadn't have prosecuted him in that case, he wouldn't have used his privilege of peerage, and which means he could have used it later on when a person actually died.
Okay.
Instead of using it on the one where the person didn't die.
Okay. Yep, I get it.
So I feel like it does make him a strong suspect. So I did then, the only issue with this is once you've looked through the theories, I still had a couple of questions. And the question was, why impale him after death? Mm. Why not do it straight away as soon as you've killed him so it would still bleed? Unless you want to count that as they didn't understand about the whole you're not bleeding after so long, so they didn't consider that. And also, why not bury him where you killed him? And three, why that location specifically? Because it was quite far away from the Somerset house.
I have a theory.
Okay.
To answer those questions. Someone murdered him. Mm-hmm. Just left him on the street just because where he should be, I guess. And then someone else who came along didn't like him, saw him, stabbed him with his own sword.
Just a random sword.
Well, it's his own sword, right?
Oh.
So maybe they saw the sword and then he was just like, I don't like this man, I'm going to stab him, not realising he's already dead.
Oh, okay.
I guess drunks. Maybe, like, he's murdered by someone. A drunk comes along and just...
But
maybe
how did his body end up there from the original location? If you want to believe he was killed at Somerton House.
You could argue that,
because they were saying there was no evidence that he was killed at that location. So they're suggesting even if it wasn't that house, he was killed somewhere else and then dumped there.
But if he's strangled, there would be no evidence.
But there would still be signs of struggles. If he's in the ditch, it's muddy, there'd be scuff marks.
Yeah,
in the mud.
Unless it's just a very dry season. So.
It's not. It's October or November, isn't it?
Could be a very dry... very dry autumn.
Let me have a look. I'm sure October, so yeah, it's going to be quite wet.
If it is raining.
Yeah.
But maybe his... Maybe the on the road, it's not, like, muddy. But
yeah, but then they've got a track...
Maybe they just pushed him down.
Maybe. What, and then impaled him afterwards?
Yeah. Or he accident... Because if he's, like, got the sword
I
attached...
I don't know if it's... Was it his own sword?
Because if it is his own sword, he... They shove him down...
Yes, you're correct, it was his own sword.
Because if... Because it would be on, like, his waist, right? On his hips. So
yeah,
they
but
push
I imagine
down.
It through his middle, like, in the middle of his stomach.
Maybe. Yeah, but, like, you keep rolling down this hill... The ground, the sword somehow, like, stands up in the ground and then, like, the next roll, he impales himself.
I feel like that'd be quite difficult to do.
I don't know. Let's get a dummy and then put a sword on it and then see if it will stab itself.
Okay.
I don't know. I think he was, like, obviously murdered, maybe on the road, shoved down the into the ditch. Maybe someone else came along, stabbed him because they didn't like him either.
Yeah.
Or it was, like, yeah, there was a group of them. Someone, like, choked him. The other guy was just like, but you said it was a few days later, right?
Yeah, so they estimated that it was 4 to 5 days afterwards that he was impaled, which is quite a big time.
Unless they went to check he was dead.
Yeah, the only other way I could account for that was as if they did kill him one way in one place and they thought it might incriminate them. They had his body for a while and then for whatever reason needed to move it or get rid of it. Then when they did that, they thought, oh no, this can be traced back to us. So we'll just impale him because it makes it look like something... completely different. Or were they thinking at the time, I suppose I don't know what the situation was like at the time, did they think they could easily make it look like he'd just fallen on his own sword, so they impaled him days later to try and make it look like he died a different way? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. If only, like, impalement was a common thing of, like, you doing it yourself. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel if everyone's carrying around swords, it's quite easy for people to get stabbed
themselves
with
so
swords.
If that's like a consistent thing, maybe they're like, oh, but there's I don't remember that being like a thing.
I don't know, but I suppose at the time,
because think about it, if
because everyone would have had pretty sword, much everyone would have had swords or knives of some form,
yeah,
so I feel like it was quite a common way to murder people, so I don't think
it
looks it looks
suspicious.
Out of place, so not necessarily that he's impaled, that he's been stabbed to death. Do you see what I mean? So
or, like I said, someone's just checking that he's dead and they're, like, poking him with a stick. But it's his own sword. It's like, you're dead?
Yeah, but they'd have had to have carried him all the way there and then impaled him on it.
Don't know.
Because it's gone all the way through and then, like, into the ground. It's not like you can impale him before.
They thought he was a vampire.
Oh.
So then they're impaling him. But then why do it days later?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's to throw them off.
It is.
Which then, like I said, it does make me sort of think... I feel like it was definitely... His murder was... It was like an ambush sort of thing. So I feel like he probably has gone somewhere, which I do agree with. It's something tied in with these plots and the depositions, I feel. Because I feel like he's probably been called in for a meeting about these, something linked with the gang. And he thinks he's just going there for drinks and to discuss what's going. Then he's ambushed by a group of people, possibly people with the gang. I think that's quite a plausible story. And then, like I said, they've got to get rid of him. Maybe they couldn't get rid of him initially, so they had to stash the body somewhere for a few days and then dispose of him when it went quiet. I don't know. Or maybe they were hoping no one would really notice he's gone, and then someone reports that he's gone, and then they're like, shit, right, we've got to get rid of the body, but we can't have it anywhere near here, so we're going to move it somewhere else and do something else with it to throw the scent off.
I just imagine that there's bodies all in ditches anywhere, so they're like... Just dump it in that one.
He fell off his horse.
Maybe. There you go. That's probably another theory. They're like, oh, he just fell off his horse.
Yeah.
Impaled himself.
And the horse ran somewhere else.
Someone just stole him for his horse.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's just that. But if not, like I said, the perfect theory, the other one that I was thinking at the time, the number four of it being someone completely that we hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
And they already, but they know of his involvement with the plots and he's concerned. I suppose if they've overheard what the Edward guy was saying, they could go, oh, well, I didn't like Edmund, so I can bump him off, and it's going to be very easy to blame it on the Catholic clergy. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
It's a perfect way to hide it because you've almost got a motive. Yeah. You can hide in plain sight if you like.
Exactly. No, it's a good motive. I don't know. It's confusing.
Yeah, we're never going to solve it, are we? No. But I just thought it was an interesting one.
Very interesting case.
But yeah, I thought you'd like that. But yeah, no, it tied in nicely with you, Eddie, hasn't it?
I know. I didn't.
Was it planned at all?
Thank you for listening and keep creeping.
And we'll keep digging.